song is love unknown. The Savior's love for me, love to the loveless shown that they might love me be. For who am I that in my place my Lord should take frail flesh and death, and love the victory won in this his parting breath. For with the cry that all is done, vain darkness fell before the to that song. So shall I stand in glorious throng and add my praises to that song.
Hello friends, welcome to worship today. This is the second Sunday in Lent. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Today is a communion day, so Reverend Kelly will lead us in the sacrament later in the service. So if you need to pause this recording to prepare the elements of either bread or crackers and some wine or juice, please do that now. And it is my great pleasure to introduce to you today Reverend Robin Jacobson. He and his wife Linda are moving house this week and participating in the Coldest Night of the Year fundraising walk as part of the St. Stephen's team. And since we asked, he agreed to preach this week. He's a busy man. Reverend Jacobson will step into covenant with St. Stephen's permanently in June this year. In recognition of our First Nations neighbours' stewardship of this area, please hear this land acknowledgement.
We are honoured to gather, serve and worship on the traditional and unceded territory of the Qualicum First Nation, the traditional keepers of this land. We seek to live with respect for these original peoples and to honour their values and the land they have called home for thousands of years. We also pay our respects for and acknowledge the lives lost and the courage of the survivors of residential schools and commit to support, advocate for, and contribute to the implementation of the calls to action of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada.
And let us declare our intention in being here together to worship God today. Come, faithful people, and find that quiet center where God may enter in. We gather as God's people, hungry for holy presence, ready for God's word to us. Let us worship God. We light the Christ candle, remembering that its light shines in our hearts and connects us as one body. In this glow, we find our home. In this light, we find our purpose, comfort in uncertainty, courage in change, hope for the future. The light of Christ is with us. Please pray with me. Almighty God, you loved the world enough that you sent your Son, who loved the world enough to die. Set before us the image of the crucified Christ, that moved by his compassion, we may find within us the kind of faith that brings health and life not only to ourselves, but also to our sin-sick world. In his holy name we pray. Amen. In the sacred season of Lent, we are reminded of God's merciful love and called to repentance. Let's pray the prayer of confession together. God of compassion, you are slow to anger and full of mercy, welcoming sinners who return to you with penitent hearts. Receive in your loving embrace all who come home to you. Seat them at your bountiful table of grace, that with all your children they may feast with delight on all that satisfies the hungry heart. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, let us hear this assurance of grace. Out of love for the world, God chose to share our humanity in the person of Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The good news, therefore, is this: in Jesus Christ, we are accepted, we are loved, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Offering the peace of Christ is a traditional liturgical act that signifies reconciliation, unity, and the sharing of God's grace with one another. Let us now share that grace with each other. The peace of Christ be with you. Here at St. Stephen's, we use three versions of the creeds, which give words to what we define as our faith. Today, let us join together with the reading of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The scripture today is from John 3, 1-17. Nicodemus visits Jesus. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with that person." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished when I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We're speaking about Jesus as our Savior today. And we're asking the question, what does that actually mean? There's much about Jesus that we do not know. We don't know his exact date of birth. We know virtually nothing about his formative years, other than these little bits and pieces that we may find in the Gospels, in meeting with the elders in the temple and them being really impressed by his wisdom and his knowledge, his understanding of Scripture. But we don't know whether he was playful, whether he was bullied, whether he was hardworking, whether he was lazy. What kind of a teenager would he have been? We don't know whether he was sulky or moody or lazy. We don't know what he looked like. Was he fair? Or dark, handsome, plain, chubby, short, tall, sporty. any imagery that we do have of Jesus is based on some kind of sacred iconography, which only used images to portray whatever theology, whatever theological idea the artist had in mind. Not realism. There's lots that we don't know about Jesus. But what we do know is that he is somehow the fullest possible human manifestation of God that we have. God in the flesh. We get that from passages like John 14, where Philip asks him to show us the Father, and he says, "But Philip, I'm with you. Anyone who has seen me has seen God, has seen the Father." Of course, we also know that Jesus is not the only revealer of who and what God is. We see aspects of the beauty and wonder of God all around us. Some scholars even describe nature, the beauty of nature, as being God's first Bible. As early as the 4th century, we have folks like Pelagius of Celtic Britain writing how they are these narrow shafts of divine light which pierce the veil that separates heaven from earth. "Look at the animals roaming the forest," he writes. "God's spirit dwells within them. Look at the birds flying across the sky. God's spirit dwells within them. Look at the tiny insects crawling in the grass. Look at the fish in the river and the sea. God's spirit dwells within all of them." There is no creature on earth in which God is absent. And so, as we are given eyes to see, what we see are aspects of God's holiness being revealed to us wherever we look. James Findlay saying, "Look long and deep and hard and loving and you will see." That's so very true. And what we know we have most uniquely given to us in Jesus is, of course, the fullest possible expression of God with us in human form, as a person, as people, the Son of Man, the Son of God. This is what God looks like as we see God radiating out from within our humanity, Jesus. Jesus does that. We know that about him. And then, more than anything else, we know from passages like our text today that this God radiating Jesus saves. That's what his very name means in the Hebrew. Yeshua, Savior, or more fully, Yahweh, is salvation. Jesus saves. That's why the earliest church claimed a fish as a symbol of their confession of faith. The word ichthus, Jesus, Christos, Theos, Quios, Soter, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior, our Savior. Jesus saves. We know that about him. We get that. But the very real question for me, and I think for all of us to chew on as a dog gnaws on a bone for us to be able to chew on, is this. Saves us from what? Of course, our quickest go-to answer is that Jesus saves us from our sins. But what do we mean by sin? We know that the word comes from a Greek word, amartia, meaning to fall short, to miss the mark. Like an arrow may fall short or miss the mark, not by flying past the target, but by running out of steam and falling short of the target, not being able to go all the way and reach the target. As our lives fall short of reaching the target, the potential of God's image, imago Dei, that is within each of us, is this perhaps the saving that Jesus does? Jesus completes us by making up the difference in our awareness of God and of all of what God would make of our lives? Or is it, as we so often hear, that because the wages of sin are death, and because we are all sinners and heading for hell as a result of our sinfulness, we find that God steps in to pay for us and with the death of Jesus, No, in order to satisfy the hellish consequences of our sin, that we may live and be free. That's what the doctrine of substitutionary atonement teaches us, that somehow God steps in Jesus and takes the place of our having the consequences of our sinfulness. But if you question that, do we actually believe that? Do we actually believe that God truly needed Jesus' death as a payment, a transaction, to change God's mind about us, to save us from damnation and to welcome us instead into heaven? Do we actually believe that? Just what does the saving of Jesus do for us? What does he save us from? This is a huge question because it is at the very heart of how we understand the gospel. And it's this understanding that maybe separates us into different denominations and models of Christianity. And what if the whole Jesus event, Jesus' birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, the outpoured Holy Spirit, is not so much about a transaction, not so much about Jesus changing God's angry heart about sinful us, as a revelation, Jesus as the revealer of God's loving heart to a sinful us in order for us to own who we actually always are in him under all that sinfulness. Not transaction, but revelation. Take a moment for that to just settle. I don't believe it's God's heart that needed to be changed about loving and accepting sinful us nearly so much as it is about our sinful minds that need changing about us being accepted by an infinitely loving God. That's huge. We know that we truly are not all of what we long to be. It's like while we are doing and thinking all sorts of things of which we are often not so proud, or leaving undone all sorts of things that we know we should be doing, while we know all of that, things that we call sin, and are certainly not proud of all of that, we know too that that's not all of who we are. We know inside of us that we've been made by God to be better than we seem. There's something beautiful and holy in each and every one of us. That's what we find Paul struggling with, wrestling with in Romans chapter 7. But also then coming ultimately to celebrate as the gospel, just bursting out through him. Who can save me from this body that's taking me to death, he writes. I don't do the things that I want to do and I fall into sin. Thanks be to God who does this for me in Jesus Christ. This is where we come to owning the good news. Just what does Jesus, our Savior, save us from? How about this? We are made in God's image. We are beloved, essentially and eternally beautiful. We are whole, beautifully, imago Dei, in God's image. But we don't always know it, and so we don't always live it. Life happens, and it steals that awareness from us. What we see most clearly revealed in Jesus Christ, what we embrace as his saving work in our lives, our salvation in him, is our ability to know and to live away from all the false identities that we so easily accumulate and allow so easily to define us, and live instead into whom we know who we actually are in Christ. Jesus saves us from our worst selves, that we may come to know and to be and to live as God has made us to know and to be and to live. That is what Jesus' salvation reveals of God for us, for others through us. How's this for a summary of Jesus' salvation? Something that Nicodemus just missed altogether. Jesus shows us who God truly is within our humanity. And in so doing, he reveals who we truly are. We may not know the details of Jesus' childhood, his appearance, or his personality, but we do know the one thing that matters most. In Jesus Christ, we see God's heart fully, clearly, and without distortion. While creation may also reveal God in many very beautiful ways, Jesus is the clearest window into divine love. His very name, Yeshua, Savior, tells us what he is for us. And what does he save us from? No, not from an angry God. Neither from a godly debt that needed to be paid, but from our own small, fearful, distorted ideas, sinful ideas of God and of ourselves. Jesus saves us by revealing the truth. God's heart never needed changing. It is our hearts and our minds that constantly needs awakening and reawakening and reawakening to that wonderful truth. We are made in God's image, beloved, beautiful, whole. Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and spirit are not about a transaction, but a revelation. They show us who God has always been, infinite love. And they show us who we have always been, God's own infinitely loved beloved. The salvation that Jesus offers is the freedom to step away from our shame, our failures, our falling short, all those things that we call sin, and into the truth of who we already are in God. In Christ, we discover that we are not defined by our sin, but by God's love. We are not rescued from God, we are awakened to God. We are not condemned, we are claimed. And that is very good news. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Isn't it great to be here this morning in the presence of our eternal and loving God? Let us gather in prayer to glorify his name and give thanks for all of the generous gifts and to raise up to him those who are in trouble in our world and right here in Oceanside. Let us pray. Father, hallowed be your name, for you are the creator and guide for all things that we do. We give you our endless thanks and praise for the many gifts that you have bestowed upon each of us and your church here at St. Stephen's, where we are worshiping you. We are amazed by the generosity of your gifts and the creation that surrounds us here. Teach us to honor your will and for us as we worship you here on earth, so that we might see what you have waiting for us in heaven. We thank you, Lord, for the love and grace that you share with each of us as we are blessed by the teachings of your Son, Jesus, while he was here with us on earth. His teachings of how to love our neighbors as ourselves and how to focus on how we treat your creation each day are the basis of how we should live each day. Thank you for sharing this with us and with all of your children. Lord, we know that you created all of the beauty on earth so that we could constantly be walking and talking in communion with you. We are only too aware of the fact that we have not respected the greatness of the creation that you share with us. Teach us, Lord, to be aware of you as we live each day in your nature and to walk with you on the various paths upon which you lead us. Lord, as we seek to live in your ways, provide us with our daily bread so that we have what we might need to achieve communion with you. We know that Jesus meant so much more than simply nutrition when he taught us to pray these words, and that nutrition alone does not bring us into communion with you. The knowledge of your will, the understanding of what you mean by feeding your sheep, the light of the world and being born again in you are all part of our daily bread that you alone provide and that we need in order to be your people. Caring God, We know that there are many who find it hard to reach out for the daily bread that you provide. Help us to help them by feeding, clothing, and comforting those less fortunate in our community and around the world, so that your wish of on earth as it is in heaven is truly our guide to our daily work and connection to you. We humbly ask that you reach out to each of those in need and let them know that they are not alone and that you are always by their side. Healing God, a portion of our daily bread is that the great healing love and grace that you share with those in need. We have many folks here in Oceanside who are suffering from illness, loneliness, and various types of grief, and we ask that you share your love and healing and grace with each of them, letting them know they are not alone and you are by their side. We also ask that you share your grace with all of your children around the world who are suffering from famine, wars, and climatic disasters. Lord, we see many opportunities to gain favor, wealth, power, and control in our daily lives as we ask that you lead us away from those temptations. As we are tempted, so are many around the world who turn those temptations into horrific actions, causing war and devastation to your children and to your creation. We ask you, Lord, to show them that your law of loving your neighbor as yourself is the only way to bring true happiness into their own lives, encouraging them to put an end to the suffering they cause to your children. Forgiving God, teach us to forgive those who have caused us pain or loss, as you forgive us daily for the many transgressions that we commit against you and our brothers and our sisters here on earth. We know you have taught us that for each of us to forgive others brings you great joy, and forgiving brings so much peace and happiness to each of us who forgive. Great guiding God, Lord, we ask that you provide leadership and strength to those in your church here at St. Stephen's, your churches across the world, with the encouragement to keep moving forward in the mission work that you would have us do. We ask that you guide the political leaders here in Canada and around your world as they go about making decisions that affect your children. Help them to understand that the power of love and light will always triumph over darkness and evil and hate. Lord, we pray that your kingdom will come here on earth, and that with your encouragement and guidance, we will be able to lead many of your children into the light of your great kingdom. We offer our thanks and praise for your great goodness. Amen.
Let us prepare to come to God's table of plenty. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right for us to give thanks and praise. With joy, we praise you, gracious God, for you have created heaven and earth, made us in your image, and kept covenant with us, even when we fell into sin. We give you thanks for Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whose grace we may triumph over temptation, be more fervent in prayer, and be more generous in love. Therefore, we join our voices with all the saints and angels and the whole creation to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. He took upon himself the weight of our sin and carried the burden of our guilt. He shared our life in every way, and though tempted, was without sin to the end. Baptized as your own, he went willingly to his death, and by your power was raised to new life. In his dying and rising, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and by the Spirit. According to his commandment, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, and we await his coming in glory. Lord our God, send your Holy Spirit so that this bread and cup may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we and all your saints be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and love. Gather your whole church, O Lord, into the glory of your kingdom. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. And all God's people say, Amen. And we join together in the prayer taught to us by Jesus, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At his meal with his disciples, Jesus took bread, broke it, said, This is my body, broken for you. In the same manner, he took the cup of blessing and said, This is the cup I give to you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come, for the meal is ready.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flame. Here's
Gracious God, may your gifts of love transform and enliven us, that we may live lives of thanksgiving. May your presence among us provoke such longing for your realm that we will never be satisfied until the whole earth knows your justice, your peace, and your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
For all that God provides, we are privileged to participate in the building of his kingdom. So let's pray together, offering all the gifts given this week to his purposes. Gracious God, bless and transform all that we offer, our faltering steps, our brokenness, our hope, our risking, our hearts, that your covenant may be written on our hearts, and we may be a blessed and transformed covenant people. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we prepare to leave this place of worship and fellowship, hear these words of blessing. Go now to be light for the world, and may the grace and peace of God the Creator, the Redeemer and the Sustainer, come upon you this day and remain with you always. You are known, you are loved, you are enough. Amen.
Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling like a mighty ocean.